Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, my co-host Barb isn't here. She's away. She's coming back from being on vacation to visit her mom, but we wish her well. And also, our guest today is Jill Bradley, fitness expert. Are you there, Jill?
I am here.
Now,
thank
what's
you
interesting
for having me on
is,
your show.
You're welcome. You know, I was reading about you because I think the thing is that it's one thing to get into shape when you don't have some of the things that you've had to deal with, like Crohn's disease and everything. And then it's another thing to get into shape when you do have those things. Mm-hmm. I have a friend of mine who apparently he went to some place, and I think it was another country, whatever it was. And he got very, very sick. And he used to be buff. And he lost like 30 or 40 or 50 pounds. He got dangerously underweight. So, mm-hmm. I mean, what advice do you give the people who are, because let's start off with you saying who you are. You're a certified nutritionist. You've been serving the Toronto GTA area since the year 2000 through comprehensive and individualized counseling sessions. Each client mm-hmm. receives a personalized diet plan that is designed to help them reach and maintain their health and fitness goals. In other words, you believe that bad habits should be replaced with good ones, reinforcing healthy lifestyles, habits that make you look and feel better for the rest of your life. Get in touch to learn today.
Yeah, so what I usually tell my clients is that, with the lifestyle that you have to understand that what you put in your mouth determines whether you're healthy or whether you're sick. And people have to understand that. It's like putting gas in a car. If you put bad gas in a car, it's not going to go for very long before it breaks down. And the same with the body. Usually you find that people after 40 start getting sick and they don't understand why. I hit 40 and all of a sudden they're sick. Well, yeah, because you've been feeding your body all of this bad food or drinks and sugar, which is one of the main contributors to sickness, and people don't understand. And it's not until they start taking sugar out of their diet and all of the bad fast food, like the canola oil that they use to fry all the foods, it triggers the brain. And they've done studies on criminals in prisons. And 90% of the people in the prison ate junk food from fast food. And it's the oil, it's the bad oil that's already bad before they even put it in the fryer because it's already heated and it's rancid. So, you know, it's doing detriment to the body before they even get it into the body. It does really bad things to the brain. It's like a trigger. So,
when
you know what?
Go on.
Go ahead. That's okay. So, once you understand that what you eat determines how your health is and how you can heal your body through what you eat, and not only that, is your thoughts, your emotions, your people that you are around, your lifestyle, so whether you do exercise, and it doesn't mean going to the gym. You can just go for a walk, you can dance, you can swim, you can anything that is activity.
Let me ask you.
So it's food, it's lifestyle. Go for it.
You know, are you of course familiar with the name Richard Simmons, right?
Sorry, with Richard Simmons?
Richard Simmons, the person, Richard Simmons, the health guru. Yeah, and you know he did something that was interesting. I don't know what they call it if they call it something else in Canada, but in the United States we have something in high school called PE, you know? And PE, the problem with PE is that every day we would do a different, we would always do sports, you know? We would do like basketball, baseball, hockey, football, tennis. The problem was that what would make somebody really good at one sport would make them stink at another sport. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, people can't be good at everything, right? So.
Yeah, so the problem was that Richard Simmons said, why don't we make it so that, you know, we teach them how to do fitness and aerobics and dance and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he taught. So, I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Well, it's funny because I was actually up on stage with Richard Simmons at one of the seminars. It was a fitness seminar here in Toronto. And he was mm-hmm. here doing his little dancing on the stage, and I was actually one of the trainers that got up on the stage with him, which is kind of cool.
Oh, did you ever meet him?
Yes.
What's he like?
He's very nice. Yes, he just wants to get everybody okay. healthy. And you know what? That's what I do too. It's, you know, I see unhealthy people every day, and I just try and get them on the healthy lifestyle. And it's just like, you know what? Start moving, start changing little things in your day and what you consume. And if you go down a certain street every single day and you stop at the same shop every single day and you buy the same donut every single day, well, that single donut that you eat every single day is going to add to your waistline over time, because that extra 300-400 calories, and I'm not one to count calories. I don't. I have a daughter that's type 1 diabetes, so I always count carbohydrates, and that's what has the biggest impact on the body is carbohydrates, and they can be good carbohydrates, they can be complex carbohydrates, but not every food, it can have the same amount of carbohydrates, but it has a huge impact on the body, whether it has fiber in it, whether it has fat in it, it all depends on what's in the food. So, you know, when you eat food, you have to look at the carbohydrates. And when you eat a donut every day or a muffin every day, that it's 40 grams of carbohydrates. Well, that 40 grams of carbohydrates on your body every single day, that means that your body has to put out so much insulin every single day. And over time, that insulin that's produced by the body, all of a sudden now, because you're starting to put on weight, the body can't keep up. And that's why so many people now have insulin resistance. And that's because the body can't keep up because they're eating all these carbohydrates. So in retrospect,
okay.
what I was getting to, it's you're going down this one street and you stop at the same shop. So you have to teach your brain, okay, you know what? I'm not going to go down this road today. I'm going to go to a different route. And that way you don't go past that store and you don't go into that store and you don't buy that muffin or that donut because you've gone a different route. And that's what you have to train your brain to, is to go a different route.
When you do, when you take, like, I mean, let me ask this. What do you think has been your most significant success story?
I've had a few, but one story that sticks out is a young girl that I used to train at a company, and she was having a hard time conceiving. And she came into me. She was a big girl. She was only young, but she was big. And she'd never been into a gym before. And I made it fun for her so that she actually enjoyed coming to the gym. And she would come in and she would see me. And the company paid for the staff to come into the gym and train with me. So she would come and see me 3 times a week. And we made the workouts fun, not too hard. So she had to start building a foundation right at the beginning. And she got into it, and as we went through the training sessions, I also asked her what she ate. So every week, I saw her 3 times, and I would say, okay, so what did you eat for breakfast? Well, and then she would say, well, I had a bagel. Well, okay, so that's 40 grams for a bagel. So how about we change it, and either you have like some Greek yogurt or some nuts and seeds for breakfast, or you have like a protein shake, or you have some eggs. And so it's protein, and your body can make amino acids from protein, but it doesn't stress the body out because there's no carbohydrates, so it doesn't have to release the insulin. So she made that little change of breakfast every morning. That was the one change that she made, was just taking out the bagel every day, and she changed it to having some protein. And within 4 weeks, she said, oh, my pants are starting to feel loose. I said, good. And then we kept going. And she started losing weight. And we were doing measurements as well. And she ended up losing about 7 inches off her waist. And she came in. She said, I haven't been feeling so good. I said, you're pregnant. She said, no, I just did a pregnancy test. I said, I'm telling you, you're pregnant. Come in next week and I'll do another test. Sure enough, she came in the following week and she was pregnant.
Wow.
It's very rewarding.
Well, you just knew by looking at her that she was pregnant?
I could just tell. You know what? I've had 3 children. You know, with what she was talking about and how she was feeling and just, it's just an intuition.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting that some people can do that.
Yeah, when you've had children, you've got a little bit of experience behind you as well. And
found kind of amazing is when a parent has twins and they can tell them apart. You know?
Yeah, I know. I can't.
That, I mean, you don't have twins, do you?
No, I don't, thank goodness, because I would definitely dress them totally different. I would have to. And
yeah.
So then they'd mess me up because they'd switch outfits and totally mess me up.
I mean, do you ever, but do you ever have moments where you go on a relaxed moment where you slouch or eat something you're not supposed to eat? Like, what's Christmas like for you?
Do I eat chips and chocolate? Yes, I do, in moderation, right?
Oh, wow.
So instead of eating that whole bag, I'll take the bag. Like I have a family, I have a life, and just because you're healthy doesn't mean to say that you can't eat those snack foods once in a while. I'm not going to eat them every single day, but as a treat, maybe once or twice a week, what I'll do is I'll have a bag, but I'll put them in a bowl and then put the bag away, and then I'm not tempted to keep eating out of the bag. And that's what I tell my customers too, or my clients. It's like, you can have that snack, but just put it in a bowl so you're not eating the whole thing and you don't want to eat more. You have to trick your brain, right? So if you use a smaller bowl and then you fill that bowl, it looks like you have more.
Okay.
If you use a big bowl and only put a little bit in, your brain's going to go, well, where's the rest of it? Right? So I tell my customers and clients, if you want to make your portion sizes smaller for when you're eating, use a smaller plate. Because then when you put the food on, it's going to look like you have a lot more. So it tricks the brain. And the brain's like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I have a lot of food. So when you're done eating, it's not hungry because you trick the brain into thinking there's more food there than what there actually is. And you
because
eat slowly as well. Of course, that makes
smaller.
A huge difference.
You mean
Sorry?
Because the plate is smaller? The plate is smaller.
The plate is smaller, but you've gone down a little bit in the size of the food as well. You don't put as much on the plate, but because it's a smaller plate, it still fills the plate. So there's lots of different things you can do to trick the brain so that it thinks it's getting the same amount of food. It's not, it's getting less, but it's on a small plate, so you're tricking the brain. And then, like I said, you going to that store every day, then you have to trick the brain and go, no, I'm going a different way today.
Let's see. So you can trick your brain into thinking that it's hungry or not hungry?
Not into not thinking it's hungry, but, I mean, what I tell people is do not eat by the clock. Eat when your body tells you you're hungry. Now, if you're hungry all the time, then you have to look at what you're doing to cause that hunger. So drinking coffee all day long, it spikes your insulin because it puts your body into fight or flight, because that's just what coffee does. So So you get a sugar high, and then it crashes, and then you get a slump and you feel really tired. So you have another coffee, which raises the blood sugar again and puts you into flight or flight, and then you crash again. So all day long, your blood sugar is going up and down like a big yo-yo. And what we want to do is want to create that straight line right across. So instead of having coffee, I try and get people onto like herbal teas or lemon water or just drinking lots more water in the daytime. And don't forget that coffee is also a diuretic. So the one thing I tell people, if you're going to have a coffee, the best time to have coffee is like half an hour before a workout. Because that way, if you're in fight or flight, your body's going to, the adrenaline's going to kick in and you're going to be able to work out so much better because you're going to have the adrenaline pumping through the body.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
but some people use coffee. Go ahead.
Does coffee kill your appetite? Or what foods have you found kill your appetite?
Yes. Coffee does too, and that's not what you want. You want to eat first thing in the morning when you wake up, not have a coffee. You want to eat. So you want to have protein, and because you don't want to spike your insulin first thing in the morning. So you want to eat. So you could eat like I said before, you can have like a, if you eat dairy, you could have like a Greek yogurt. You could have like a protein smoothie. You can have like a green smoothie, but add some protein. I always say protein first thing in the morning, because it gets you going, your body going, and your body can make amino acids from protein. It can't make it from anything else. And your body needs amino acids to regenerate and build new cells. So your body needs
protein. Have you ever heard of something
called... It can't live without it.
Have you ever heard of something called insulinoma?
No, that doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, because that's something my mom had. It was a very, very upsetting time when I found out about it. I mean, you know... But, you know, she got treated, and I think it had something to do with she was getting double vision or something. Now, does fried chicken, I've heard a lot of people say don't eat a lot of fried food. Why is that bad?
Well, because the oil usually that they cook it in is rancid, so it's bad for the body anyways. And it's once it's cooked, depending on what kind of oil it is, like I said, it's a lot of fried food. It's a lot of oil, right? Every single day, if you're eating fried food, which causes weight gain. I mean, fat doesn't make you fat, but if it's the wrong kind of oil, then, you know, it's doing irreparable harm to the body and the arteries because it's going to block your arteries. You know, we've got 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds having heart attacks, and they don't understand why. But will you live on fast food every single day? Well, it blocks the arteries.
I have a question.
You know, when strokes is another one.
What about niacin? Like people who take niacin?
Well, that's just B3. That's just one of the Bs. So when I have a customer that comes and speaks to me about the B vitamins, because B vitamins are vital for the oxygen in the cells. They're vital for the stress on the body. They're vital for even digestion. I mean, I speak to people every single day, and I love it when somebody comes to me and says, you know what, I had digestive issues and I just took these complex B vitamins and I don't have any more digestive issues. And usually, so when somebody comes to me and tells me those little tidbits of information, then I can pass it on to another customer because, you know, I've worked with a lot of supplements, but I don't use all of them myself. So when somebody tells me, hey, this worked for me, that works for me. So when somebody else comes with the same issue and I say, well, hey, this worked for this person, maybe it'll work for you. And nobody, not one person is the same. We're all different. We all have the different DNA. So what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for their friend or the other person. Unfortunately, it's trial and error. I can't see in your body. I can't tell you that this is going to definitely work for you. So if somebody comes in with stress, there are so many different things that we can take for stress. There's GABA, there's ashwagandha, there's St. John's wort. There's like lots of different herbs and essential oils. And a lot of times I'll just say to people, you know what, go on YouTube, do meditation, do, you know, guided hypnosis and stuff. Like there's so many different things that work differently for different people. So it's not a one fix for everybody. Like everybody is different. So everything has to be custom to them. And unfortunately, with health, you have to listen to your body and what works for you.
I mean, it's Have you, like, do you find that exercise reduces stress? And if so,
yes.
How? How does it reduce stress?
Sorry? How? Because
how
when you're stressed
yes.
out, you when you're in a stress mode, your body releases, like, adrenaline and epinephrine. And so you're in this kind of like fight and flight mode, and it's actually turning in and doing damage on the inside of your body. So when you do exercise, and it can be going to the gym, it can be kickboxing, martial arts. And I actually say for moms and parents, for your little ones, get them into martial arts. It's one of the best activities for kids because it teaches them meditation. It teaches them control. Right? Some of these teenagers now are totally out of control. They just can't control the thoughts and emotions. But if you get them into martial arts at a young age, that it's taught in an environment which is so friendly to kids and it's so controlled that as they age, they're going to take that with them. I started sports when I was like 6 years old, I want to say. And I was really big into tennis and badminton because my parents were too, and my sisters. So for me, I didn't know anything else except for badminton and tennis on the weekend and the week. And I played competitive, and I played for my county in badminton. So it's been instilled in me from a young age to always be active. So as you get older, even as a teenager, I can't sit still. I'm like, I got to be out. I got to be moving. I got to be doing something. And for children, that's amazing because it helps the brain as well. And it helps as we get older too. So, you know, when you go into school and all of a sudden somebody goes into universities and they sit down and they're like, I need to go for a walk. And just even going for a walk in the trees with the oxygen, it's such a relaxing time because the trees create oxygen, right? And when you walk through the woods,
exactly. Yeah.
You feel this calmness.
Because my state is in lockdown now, and actually it's sort of recovering, but I'm moving with parents that are at high risk. So for me, going for a walk is like a big deal. I've actually had dreams of walking to the gas station. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's just. Mm-hmm. I mean, you understand. I don't know if you're under lockdown, you know.
Well, yes and no. I mean, we're starting to open up a bit now. I mean, we're allowed to go for walks around the neighborhoods. There was, not too long ago, a few weeks ago, where you couldn't even go for a drive and park your car anywhere because chances are you're going to get a ticket, like an $800 ticket for being out. If you're not going to the grocery store or to the, you know, to pick up your medications, right? But, like, just... I don't understand the government shutting the trails. Yes, the parks, because that's where the kids all congregate and touch everything. That's fine. But I don't understand the government closing the trails because the people, that's a huge stress relief. And that's how people just need to just get out of their house, for one, and just de-stress. And trees are such a calming effect. And the earth and the smell and the birds and the animals, you might not see them, but you can hear them. And it's such a huge stress relief for people to go on these walks through the trails. I have a dog, so I walk my dog every single day. And, you know, my boyfriend will say to me, it's okay, I'll walk the dog. And I'm like, no, you can walk him, but when I come home, I'm going to walk my dog. Because for me, that's my relaxation. That's how I get out of my, you know, out of my work zone. And it's just for me to unwind and relax.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I do this podcast to relax, but, you know, it's not the same thing, obviously, as going for a walk, you know, but I do go for walks sometimes, and I live in a beach house.
Okay.
So, I'm sure that if you lived in the beach, well, I would if situations were different, but we all know what the situation is right now.
I'm like, normally if it's not everything closed down.
Yeah, you probably would, and I'm sure you probably would too. You'd go walking on the beach.
Oh, I used to, when I was younger and I lived in England, I used to live not far from the beach, And my, you know, on the weekend, my dad would go, come up, let's get your boots on, let's go for a walk down by the beach. And it's very calming. And I find, like, last year I was in L.A. and San Francisco, and I just wanted to, I love being by the ocean. And it's, studies have been known that if you live by the ocean or you go to the ocean on holiday or what have you, it's very, very calming, very, very relaxing. Whether you sit there and you listen to the waves or you just the whole ambiance. Again, same thing. You go for a walk down by the beach. It's very relaxing for so many people.
I know. I imagine it must be quite relaxing because you tend to sort of. So there's something about water that does that to people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't live by the ocean here, but I do go back down to the lake quite a lot, like just Lake Ontario. And I just, even on windy days, I love going down there because the waves are just, it's crazy. But it's just so relaxing being down there too, just in front of the water.
Now, I don't, honestly, the only reason I do this, okay, and I just, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I've incorrectly done this, but I just want you to know this is something that I've done. For some reason, whenever I hear about, think of Canada, I think of snow. And
yeah,
we
have a lot of it.
Yeah, and whenever I think of someone, you know, living in Canada, that there's a lot of icebergs and, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, a beach, you know, where would you have beaches, you know? And somehow that's the association that I made, you know, which is not always accurate. How cold is it where you're at?
Right now it's 11 degrees, which is not very warm. We usually tend to have really cold springs.
Wow. I guess in a sense we don't have spring.
No. Well, this is our spring. It's supposed to go up to 23 this week, which I'll keep my fingers crossed because I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm laughing because, I mean, 23 degrees here, I mean,
that's your spring?
Well, I mean, I mean, 23 degrees here, I mean, that's like December weather. I mean, okay, what's it like there in August?
In August? Well, we do have some days that can get up to 30, 35. If we have a heat wave. Like in summer.
Oh, see, I don't remember. No, wait a minute. You said you like to go to the beach. Now, 35 degrees is not beach weather.
No. That's when you stay inside with the air conditioning on.
Yeah, I mean, when would somebody like you in that area of the world go to the beach? As opposed to where?
I
know.
Because there is no beach.
Way.
You go for a walk down by the lake, and I don't go in it because it's Lake Ontario and it's quite dirty. Some people go to Barrie because I'm in Toronto, right? I'm not even out BC or anything like that. So there's a place called Barrie, and you know what? Up north we have Muskoka, which is beautiful. So lots of different lakes. So lots of people go boating, which it is. It's absolutely gorgeous up there. It really, really is. So, yeah, people go north on the weekends, and they go boating. They go to the cottages. But, yeah, it's a tough one right now because I'm just like, why am I here? Because wintertime is too cold and summertime it's way too short, and then I can't go anywhere. There's no beach.
Yeah.
So that's my next move. That's what I got to figure out. Where am I going to be? Now that my children are getting older, where would I like to be?
I mean, are you thinking about moving somewhere where that's nice and cold?
Oh, warm? No. No, it's got to be warm. Yeah, I like the heat. With an ocean as well. I've got to be by the ocean. So I don't know. I think I have to go traveling to find out. I want to go traveling first to see where I'd like to be before I decide.
Okay.
Now, you're in Florida, right? Whereabouts in Florida?
Yes, I'm in Destin, Florida, yes.
And that's like hot a lot. Is that hot a lot? I haven't been to Destin, so I don't know what area of Florida it is.
Well, right now it's warm. And it's the point where you wouldn't want to go outside barefoot because the ground is very, very hot.
Right.
So, that's basically, you know, what they do. And I tell you, it's the only thing is it's so funny because for a long time I hated the beach. I was afraid of it. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you live by the beach growing up?
Oh, God. I would go to the beach and I hated it. Oh, God. It was so awful. I mean, it was... And it's so funny. It's like, oh, well, let's build a beach house. I'm like, oh, great, you know. And everybody tells me, you have a beach house? I'm like, yes. On the beach? Yes. You know, and I'm like, and they're like, would want to trade with me, you know. It's funny. So... I mean, do you write a lot? Do you ever write? Are you going to write any books?
Not as yet. I'm not a big writer. So who knows what's in the future for me.
I understand.
I used to journal. I used to journal everything, so.
How healthy? I mean, did your boyfriend work out with you a lot?
Yes and no. He has his moments where he gets into it, and then he has moments where he doesn't. He's not a gym body, but he does like to ride a bike in the when the weather turns warm enough. Just, you know, I love being outside too, so usually we'll jump on the bikes and just go for a nice bike ride.
That's great. Yeah, I just don't even know how I would go on a bike ride with that kind of temperature. I mean,
well,
you know.
Usually, I mean, if we do it in the summertime, then we would wait for the evening to cool down.
So we just keep
active. We walk.
Let me ask you this. I mean, what do you think is the main barrier that has helped stop everybody from being healthy?
Marketing. Restaurants make everything smell so good. And our bodies follow our senses, right? We have five senses. So you've got your smell, your taste, your touch, your sight, and there's another one I can't think right now. But our body is just streamlined for the five senses. So, and when you go anywhere, these restaurants make food smell and look so good that the body just wants to go, oh, I want some of that, I want some of that, I want some of that. You know, and before you know it, you've just eaten way too much because it looked and tasted so good. And then you regret it. And then the next day you'll go do the same and you'll go do it, right? So it's just what I find is even for myself, it's like if I don't want to snack, then I don't buy the food and I don't have it in the house. If I don't want to keep going to that restaurant, I don't go to that road. I'm just like, no, I'm going to distract myself and I'm going to go somewhere else. So it's the name of the game, tricking the brain and just.
Like, do you think a good example of this is McDonald's, the way they advertise?
For children, yeah. I don't watch TV now, so I don't see any of those commercials. So I have no idea what the commercials are these days. But I know when I was younger, it was, you know, the ads and that big yellow sign was everywhere. But I think people are starting to realize now that for their own health, that they have to start eating healthier. Because we are seeing so much disease, and not just COVID. I mean, people are starting to realize that, you know, like they have so many issues. They're on so many medications. And I see it every single day. People are on so many medications. And the problem is once you get onto one medication, then you need, because of the side effects, then you go onto another medication. And then because of those side effects, you go onto another medication. And those medications have caused problems with this medication. So by this time, then you're onto five different medications. So all of a sudden, your quality of life has gone right down. Because without all those medications, you know, what one thing that started that could have been probably fixed with a healthy diet and just changing lifestyle, all of a sudden they're on five different pills, and that could be, you know, keep going. And I know from talking to people, they're like, I'm like, have you ever looked at the side effects of the drugs that you're on? And they're like, well, no. And I'm like, well, maybe you should actually look at the side effects. Because I can guarantee that half of the medications you're on, you don't actually need to be on them because of the side effects from the first medication. So, and I know there's a lot of drugs out there that are being used that people don't need to be on.
Now, let me ask you this. I know you're not do you have anything about the coronavirus? Do you think that's something that will eventually be fixed and they'll get a vaccine?
I don't. You know what? People are going to be actually, it's like the flu virus. The people get the flu every single year. And every single year it mutates. And people are going to get it every single year. It's like COVID. It's going to keep mutating. There's going to be no vaccine that's going to be powerful. It's like the flu vaccine. It doesn't work. All it does is give people the flu. The amount of people that said, yeah, I had the shot and then I got the flu. It's like, well, of course you did, because it was a different strain of the flu. And all it did with the flu made you sick from a different strain, because that's what it does. It just mutates. And 300,000 people die every year of flu, but you don't hear about it. God knows how many people die of heart attacks every year. People die from strokes every single year. People die of starvation every single year, more so than COVID. This is just because it's new.
You think the COVID thing is being overplayed?
Totally. Totally. Yes, it's deadly, but unfortunately, the people that are dying are the people that haven't taken care of their health to begin with. And they have lots of underlying causes. So they, you know, like they have heart problems. They have blocked arteries. They have lung problems. And unfortunately, this hasn't come. They might not even know they have health problems until they catch something like this virus. You know, it's like somebody being in a car accident and they go to hospital and they have all these x-rays and these scans, and they're like, oh, by the way, you have only one kidney working. But they didn't know that. They only knew because they went into hospital because of a car crash. How many people have you heard that either got into some kind of an accident and then they went into hospital and then they found something else that was wrong with them and they didn't even know it? Because I've heard so many stories like that. It's like,
like, I don't have any frontal sinuses, you know.
Right.
And
you find out that how?
Well, I had surgery. They x-rayed, and then they told me that that's what it was the case, which means that that was why I was having so many sinus problems, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's you're right. There's a lot of things that people find out about. They don't really find out about it until the doctor looks at them. There was actually, I read somewhere that there was a 97-year-old woman who didn't know that she had a lot of her organs in the wrong place when she until she went to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually, my doctor knows I'm a nutritionist now, and even for years, even when I took my daughter in when she was 5 years old, my doctor said to me, "What do you think's wrong?" And I just knew because I'd researched it when I was home, and I'm like, well, she has the asthma and, you know, this, that, and the other. And the next thing is diabetes. And, of course, with the peeing and the drinking, which is two primary symptoms that you look for with diabetics, she's like, yeah, I have to do a blood sugar test. And, of course, she did the blood sugar test. She said, you got to take to the hospital right now. I mean, that's the scariest thing that any parent hears, right?
Right. Do you know anything ringworm? Do you know anything about ringworm or anything like that? Any skin problems?
It depends on what ringworm is. Just an infection from the worms, right?
Yeah.
Like how it comes up, it shows up like a circle.
Well, see, I have it. I mean, or at least I think I have it. But see, I've been treated for it for the past 2 or 3 months, and it still hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
I mean,
so, what are you using for it? Because it's a fungal infection.
It's Lotrimin, and it's Lotrimin ringworm.
Okay. So, did you go to your doctor?
Not yet, but we are.
Or did you go to? Did you? Okay, so how about you take some herbs instead?
What herbs do you have? I suggest. I will tell you that you only see it when it's applied, and Mom says it has to do with it fighting. That's why it comes to the surface.
Yeah. So I mean, you can a garlic's one, apple cider vinegar's another one, aloe vera gel, coconut oil, grapefruit, seed extract is a really good one. Turmeric, you've got powdered licorice. Like, there's so many natural remedies for ringworm that you can use. Like, you don't need medication for it. So, I mean, aloe vera is a natural remedy. It's been used for years, right?
Okay, I didn't know that. The have you had any kids that have had ringworm?
No, I haven't. The apple cider vinegar is really good for everything, whether it be topical or you take it internal, right? I mean, I put apple cider vinegar on my salads with my olive oil.
I mean, I'm gonna have to look into that because. See, what happens is that she puts it on me, and she doesn't see it, but then, you know, it starts to get red. Does that mean that the virus is fighting whatever it is that's being put on it, or?
It's just, yeah, it's a fungus. So if it's getting redder, then obviously you're having a reaction to it, like a sensitivity, so I would try something different.
Okay. Because usually she's able to get rid of it, but then what happens was when she puts it on, it goes red, right? When she puts it on.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't go red. No, it should go calm. It should calm. So because it's a fungus, what I would start doing, have you ever had apple cider vinegar?
A what?
Have you ever had apple cider vinegar?
No.
Okay. So get some apple cider vinegar. It's got to be the pure, unpasteurized. And you can put a tablespoon, a little bit of water, and you take it morning and night. And then you can also put it actually on the area, but I would actually, more so, I would take the apple cider vinegar internally, but I would put the aloe vera from a plant, slice open a leaf, and put some actual apple, the aloe on the skin.
Yeah, see, what happens is that you can't see. She's been able to get the ringworm down to like nothing. You know, you can't see it. But as soon as she puts the thing over it, she sees it start to get red for like a little bit. know.
Yeah.
And you're saying
so
that
whatever you're using,
happened.
I would change it. Yeah, I would change it.
Okay,
so
why
it's
is it
a fungus,
doing?
So
okay.
Like, I don't know. I've never seen, I haven't seen it, right? Everybody's different.
No,
so,
I know for me,
like, apple cider vinegar is so good for the gut. Like, your immune system is in your intestines. Your intestines are five, 6 feet long. So all your health is in your gut. And if your gut is not healthy, then a lot of times it comes out in the skin. Right? So I know a lot of people tout probiotics, but our gut really likes fermented foods. So anything with in vinegar, basically pickled foods. So start eating pickled foods because your gut really likes it. And so what I tell, like sauerkraut, you can get like pickled ginger or, you know, the pickled cabbage, which is sauerkraut. It's salted and then pickled. Mm. So, I mean, what I used to tell my kids was, you know, you have all this bacteria in your stomach. Well, bacteria is basically bugs, right? You have to feed the bugs for your gut to be healthy. If your gut's not healthy, you don't feed them. So if you eat cooked food every single meal, you're not feeding the bugs because there's no nutrition left for the bugs to eat. So you have to eat raw fruits and vegetables every single day to feed the bugs.
Hmm. Okay. It's interesting. The if people were to contact you, what would be the best way that they could reach you?
I have a website. Don't ask me the name of it. It's a Wix website, but I'm on YouTube. I'm on Instagram. Actually, Instagram is my big one, so they can just go to my main Instagram now is Minx in Style, M-I-N-X in Style. I'm sure you could put the link up on your YouTube there, and people can go to that. And from there, they can click the link in my bio, and it'll go straight to my nutrition website.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on. I want to let everybody know that soon I will be putting this show that we're on right now on YouTube, and we have about 300 shows. And I'll let everybody take the time to subscribe to our channel. And I just want to say thank you, Jill, for coming on the show, and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Me too. Okay. Good night, everyone.
Have a good night. Take care.